You're probably already aware of this, but you might not be fully. But what occurs there on that pew on Sunday mornings, most of the time, is just a time of great joy and worship. At other times, there is a almost physical wrestling match going on there. And it's not between me and Daddy. I didn't pin him. He's out today. He's preaching in Jackson. It's usually between us and the Holy Spirit. I said, Lord, how would you have us to are the things that are on my mind from you, or are they not from you? And so there was a little wrestling match there in the first 15 minutes of the singing this morning, and then I yielded. So we're going to do it a little bit different this morning. We're going to spend most of our time this morning, as we already have, just in worship and song. And here's why we're going to do that. Two texts that came pressing upon my mind this morning, both from the Psalms. I was planning to preach to you this morning on what does holy war look like today. I look forward to preaching that sermon to you. But here's the reality. This may be a little bit cynical, but June sermons on the second and third Sundays of June are the least listened to sermons in the world at Grace Chapel. Because I kind of know what's happening. Some of you are thinking, we got to get on the road. Oh, I forgot to pack this. Are we really going to do this? Or you're just exhausted. Okay, so I'm not angry at you, don't worry. But I say that jokingly. This time of year for our church body is an incredibly important time. These weeks, and I'm not saying if you're not going to Harmony Hill, if you're not going to camp, that you're out. I don't mean that at all. But these weeks in our church body really are forming. And so here's two texts. One is Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Just to break this psalm down very quickly, very roughly, there is activity. Listen to the activity. Serve the Lord. You're coming to God with gladness. Verse 2 again. Come before His presence. Enter His gates. Be thankful to Him. Bless His name. First verse. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. There are commands. There's activity expected from the people of God. And then there is knowledge, or there are convictional statements that we are making, that we are forming as we're doing this. We are knowing that the Lord is God. We are knowing who we are. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. We are knowing that the Lord is good. We're stating that the Lord is good. We are living in the confidence that His mercy is everlasting. We are believing, we are confirming that His truth will endure to all generations. The other little text is from Psalm 23, very simple, four words. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. And here is my thought this morning for all of us. We probably, individually and maybe collectively, we probably do not fully understand just how much we need our souls to be restored. Let's just face it. life in any time is difficult. Life this last year and a half or so has been particularly soul draining, maybe soul confusing, soul hardening for some, maybe. And Harmony Hill and Camp Moriah are not divinely prescribed. That may not be what you can do in your time of life right now. But I do know this. I do know that Jesus made a point to maintain his soul as he engaged in the activity of ministering during his short time here on earth. Jesus, who we love his omnipotence, he could have healed every single person that was living anywhere in the world at the time that he was there. But Jesus passed up opportunities to do good work, healing work, ministering work. He passed up opportunities at times to do those works in order to restore his soul, in order to spend time with his Father in that soul restoring work. Not that his soul was in jeopardy. You understand what I'm saying? But friends, Jesus had left the glories of heaven and the perfection of fellowship and the harmony and the unity and the joy. And he found himself willingly in a place that was completely unlike the beauty of heaven and the unity of heaven and the joy of heaven. He found himself in a place that was anything but like heaven. And so Jesus made a point to step aside, to find a quiet place, and to restore his soul. So just a few points that I want to make to you very quickly as we think about this time, this opportunity. Number one, you must take these moments. You must take regular moments. You must take regular moments to restore your soul. He'll do the work. He restoreth my soul. He's faithful to do that. But you must recognize the need. And you must actively engage in the activity of having your soul restored. I don't mean that you I don't want to prescribe anything to you today as far as where you're at. But just the reality is, you don't have to be hardened in sin to need your soul to be restored. You just have to live. You have to live in a sin-cursed world. You have to live with your own flaws. You have to live with the inward struggle that is in all of us, where the flesh is warring against the spirit and the spirit is warring against the flesh. Friends, that is an exhausting endeavor. It is. And you need strength. You need grace. You need light. God's faithful to provide all those things. And so let me just, I wrote down three things. Number one, I wrote down the importance, the necessity of worship in soul restoration. That's why Harmony Hill is a blessing. That's why Camp Moriah is a blessing. Worship is spiritual warfare. Worship is where the doubts, the lies, and the misshapen perspective is pushed away, and we see King Jesus high and lifted up, and his train is filling the temple, and all of a sudden the whole earth is full of his glory. Is that how you see the world today? I don't mean the world around you. I mean, do you see King Jesus high, lifted up, and His glory is everywhere? Probably not. And so you need to worship. Worship anchors the mind. Worship shapes the perspective. Worship just slows down the pace. Athletes will know this. You can be a basketball player and you can have all the skill. You can dribble as well as the guy next to you. You can shoot as well as anybody that in any contest. But here's what happens. Basketball players become good basketball players when their minds slow down. They're able to see the game and the court in slow motion. All of a sudden, they're able to take the shot in the rhythm that they've practiced 100,000 times. Satan has a way, and just the pace of life has a way of speeding things up to where everything becomes frantic. And we cannot function in a God-honoring, God-glorifying way when our minds are sped up by the realities of life and by the fears of life and by the doubts of life and by the responsibilities of life. We cannot function well when our minds are sped up. Worship, stopping to see the God of glory and the reality that I am the sheep of His pasture. He is my good shepherd. He will restore my soul. This is what Psalm 100 says. Know ye. Not just run past it 75 miles an hour, but stop and know that the Lord is God. Know that He's made us. He's made us. He's worthy of our worship. He's made us to sustain us. He's made us for His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And so, enter into His gates. Do this. Go to worship. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. So I am asking you, I'm imploring you, that as the summer of 2021 begins to take full speed, you must find some place. Take a day off work. It would be a great vacation day. Say, I'm going to take a day off work. I'm going to spend that time entering into the gates of God. Or take a week off work and go to Harmony Hill. Do something. Do something to recalibrate your spiritual man, and it will happen through worship. Number two, souls are restored through fellowship. Through fellowship. God saves individuals, but God adopts those individuals into a family. He has placed the solitary in families. It's a greater family than just blood family. You don't have to have blood family to be in the family of the greatest family there ever been. You and I need fellowship. Our souls are encouraged through fellowship, through unburdening ourselves to another. Now, listen, I don't mean that we are going to go to Harmony Hill and just pour out our complaints about life to somebody and just make the whole thing about us. No, it's the fellowship of understanding that other brothers and sisters are in the battle as well and saying, will you pray for me? And can I pray for you? And can I love you? Can I care for you? Can I bear your burdens alongside of you? Know that souls are restored through fellowship. You need fellowship. Isolation is not good for your soul. That's on you. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. You need to look for avenues of fellowship. Don't let your bashfulness, don't let your well, you know, I don't need to pour myself into somebody else. You need fellowship. Your soul will be restored through fellowship. And then the last thing is this slowing down time. Number one, it is the right investment, but it also is an opportunity to examine where our investments are. Matthew 6, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves cannot break through and they cannot steal. So the idea there is that you will invest in something. The question is, what is it that you will invest in? Will you invest in relationships? These lives that we live are so quickly, swiftly passing by. So swiftly passing by. And our investments are made a day at a time, an opportunity at a time, moments in time. But they're real investments. And so what will you and I invest in? Matthew 6 goes on to talk about all the worries of life and all the things that are weighing upon us, clothing we have to buy and food we have to prepare and the future and what will happen and will we be safe, will we be protected? And there's all kinds of questions, aren't there? And the whole thing is just sort of sorted out by this statement. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Brothers and sisters, we don't have many moments to consider our investments. We're just sort of living in the investment, right? And so we got to stop. We got to stop. And the best way to stop is by investing in something that's worthwhile while we're stopping. And so I say this to the mothers, and just kind of store this in your pocket, in your bag for maybe Wednesday of this week, Wednesday afternoon. Galatians 6:8 says, you'll sow something. You'll sow something. So let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, one word to the young people who will be going maybe this week or next week. I want to ask you to imitate Jesus in two ways. Matthew 20:28, memorize that verse. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. You will never be more like Jesus than when you are eagerly and actively serving. So look out for ways to serve. Look out for ways to serve. Number two, Philippians 2 verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You will never be more like Jesus than when you are observant of the things of others, of the needs of others. And one way you can do that, if you're going to be somewhere for these 2 weeks, is I want to ask each one of you from Grace Chapel to find somebody who looks uncomfortable and see if you can make them more comfortable just by being friendly and kind to them. Okay? Can you do that? You will never be more like Jesus than when you're serving, when you're considering others more than yourselves. And so, let's sing a few more songs today. That's the message. I think that's the message God laid on my heart pastorally for you today. May God bless us to recognize worthy investments for His glory, for the good of His people, for days and years to come. I really think we need this 2 weeks really badly. And if you're not plugged into these 2 weeks, that's all right. Plug into respite soon, involving worship, involving fellowship, and involving the consideration of our investments. I think we had at least 3 or 4 more songs. we'll sing those. If there's another couple, we'll sing those, and then we'll close. And so this is a time for worship right now. Worship, speaking to yourselves, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.